Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. We're beginning this hour with Leonard Cohen.
I'm just paying my rent every day in the Tower of Song. I said to Hank Williams, how lonely does it get? Hank Williams hasn't answered yet, but I hear him coughing.
Exactly 1 year after Leonard Cohen's death, the Montreal Museum of Contemporary Art, often called the MAC, opened a large show titled Leonard Cohen, A Crack in Everything. The show debuted in 2017, and it featured commissioned works that honored the life and work of Canadian singer, songwriter, poet, and novelist. Met with wide acclaim, the show is about to embark on an international tour beginning here in New York at the Jewish Museum. The show is curated by the director and chief curator at the MAC, John Zeppitelli. Hi, John.
Hi.
Along with Ruth Best, she's also in studio, the senior deputy director of programs and strategic initiatives at the Jewish Museum. Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
And George Falk, a participating artist. Hi, George.
Hi.
We are so happy to have you here today. The show opens on Friday the 12th, by the way. So, John, when this show was originally conceived, Leonard Cohen was still alive, correct?
He was, yeah. We were working on it. Victor Schiffman and I, who is the co-curator, we should mention Victor as well. We were working on the show 2 years, actually 3 years before it opened. And midway, well, 2 years into it, Cohen sadly died. So when we opened the show on the first anniversary of his death, people were coming up to us and said, oh, you guys are so clever to put this together in a year. But we were actually working to celebrate a living artist. It was a commissioned project by the 375th anniversary celebrations in Montreal. And we wanted to celebrate a local hero who also very conveniently happened to be a global icon. So Cohen felt like the greatest choice. And he's an amazing artist that basically brings everybody to a consensus. You know, Montreal is a French-speaking city, and here we have an English-speaking Jewish artist. So he's just an extraordinary person that brings people together.
Were you able to connect? Was the team able to connect with him before he passed away?
Sadly, we weren't. But when we decided that we wanted to work on him, we wrote to his manager, Robert Corey, and then waited anxiously for days and days.
I'm sure.
And this cryptic message came in after many days saying, Leonard will not get in your way, which I thought was very Cohen-esque. And then the conversation continued, and then we realized, okay, this can go ahead with the caveat that Leonard Cohen will not attend the opening and he will not work with any of the artists. Which was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we initially reached out and said, you know, we can't proceed with such a colossal exhibition without his consent. Also, we needed material from him. I mean, the show is full of archival stuff, full of tidbits. We went to the Rare Books Library in Toronto, where his archive is kept. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no way that we could go ahead without, you know, and there was no way that we could devote six large galleries and a big museum in his hometown without his, you know, approval. So we were really
his
delighted.
Non-approval is kind of approval, though, in many ways, you know? To your point, it feels kind of perfect.
Yeah, it is. And it was great not to have, you know, the guy whose project is about sort of breathing over your shoulder either. So we pretended that we were very offended. But in fact, we were quite pleased because, of course, we wanted to do something, I mean, not reverential. I mean, we wanted to keep a critical position, but the exhibition was born of admiration and love and devotion. So, and the only people who would be contributing to it would be people who were fascinated by his work. So would come with that perspective to the exhibition.
So the song Anthem, that's where the title comes from, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why was that the source of inspiration for the title and for the show?
Well, I just love that line. I mean, for me, it encapsulates everything that Leonard is about, this sense of, you know, the imperfection of life, that, you know, we can pretend, but in fact, you know, there is indeed a crack in everything. And it felt like the result of such a lived experience in his case. You know, it was demonstrably true. But then there's the compensating counter-argument that ends that line, which is, that's how the light gets in, which we chose to omit, but we do talk about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love the kind of ambiguity of it, the There is a crack in everything. There is a flaw in everything. It's like the fatal flaw of something, isn't it?
But the flaw is also how we are individuals. If we were all the same and everybody was perfect and everything was perfect, life would be boring.
Yeah.
Ruth, let's bring you into the conversation. How did the Jewish Museum get involved with this project?
Well, we heard about the exhibition. Actually, John and Victor came to see me in the very formative stages of it and told me that they were working on this show and would we like to, you know, join in? And I said, well, when you have more information, let us know. And then our director, Claudia Gould, started to hear about the show and went to Montreal and spent a lot of time in the exhibition and came back and said, we have to take this show. And for us, of course, it is perfect. We are an art museum that explores Jewish culture for people of all backgrounds. And so here you have Leonard Cohen, a great Jewish icon, a great artist himself. We also believe in looking at everything that we do through a contemporary lens. So the opportunity to do an exhibition about Leonard Cohen that features the work of these amazing commissioned contemporary artists, it's just the sweet spot. It's mm-hmm. an incredible sweet spot. And of course, you know, Leonard Cohen is someone who speaks to everyone. You know, he has a very strong Jewish background. You could say that it's, you know, everything that he says and does is imbued in, I think, in certain Jewish values, but yet they're universal values. So it's a perfect fit for us.
And when you think about the title, A Crack in Everything, mm-hmm. having seen the show, we haven't seen the show yet.
Yeah.
Why is it appropriate? Why is it a good title?
Well, I think, as John said, it speaks to his sense of humanity. And, you know, artists, I think, are always searching for universal truths. And they're not afraid to tackle things that may be dark and uncomfortable. And then they also offer us hope and inspiration. So I think that when our visitors come to this show, that they will have an amazing, amazing experience. They're going to see both the, you know, the moody, sort of dark, poetic side of Cohen, but they'll also, I think, leave feeling really, really upbeat. The exhibition is just chock full of amazing, amazing experiences. Some of them are participatory. Our visitors will be invited to participate in some of the work. Some of them are more experiential, but they're all amazing and they're all really different. And they all cover different, that word cover, it's a new word for me. I'm not from a music background, but they really do express the various aspects of Leonard's practice over a long and rich career.
We're talking about Leonard Cohen, A Crack in Everything. It will open at the Jewish Museum, excuse me, on Friday, April 12th. George, you're one of the artists involved.
Yes.
You have the largest piece in the show. It's mm-hmm. this video installation.
Yeah.
Would you describe it for our listeners?
Yes, it's an immersive piece of installation. So when you go in, you see you're surrounded by Leonard throughout the ages. And it's a piece that, like, paying tribute and celebrate the 5-decade career of Leonard as a performer on stage.
Yeah. When did you first encounter Leonard Cohen's work?
Oh, that's a long story. Yeah, because actually, when I was in Hong Kong in the 90s, yeah, and the first album that I encountered is not the album of Leonard, but it's a tribute album called I'm Your Fan. Mm-hmm. At the time, I'm like an indie rock musician. I'm playing guitar in Hong Kong, which is trying to, it's strange things. And we came across this album called I'm Your Fan. There's Pixies. There is R.E.M. singing First We Take Manhattan, or I Can't Forget. I said, wow, this is amazing. And then I started to dig into the catalog and find all these songs from Leonard, like going backward, all the way back from 90s, 80s, 60s, 70s, fell in love with his work. And then as the stories, like, as, you know, Hong Kong go for political changes, my parents, like, decided to leave. They want to move to Canada. And strangely, I moved to Montreal, which is the hometown of Leonard Cohen. And even more of a strange coincidence is my first work is the design studio I work in. It's just right next door to the house of Leonard, right beside the Portuguese Park.
It's meant to be.
It's meant to be, I guess.
The universe has been calling to you to do this,
exactly,
this piece of work.
Yeah.
So there's so much footage. Where did you find all this footage that's in your piece? People sit sort of in the middle. I've seen a video of it.
Yeah.
And they're surrounded by these screens of Leonard Cohen performing.
Well, there's many. I mean, we live in a time that, like, technology is permeating everywhere. So, first of all, there's from the archive of Leonard, which is like from the estate, that we have the right to use all the published material from the DVDs and stuff like that. And then YouTube, strange enough, like, you search, all the fans have been posting, like, little clips in there. And And I started to look and look and look, and just found a lot of little material that, I mean, each fan have their own favorite moment. And then you start to look, okay, why this is important. So it's almost like a long meditative process. You just look and look and memory and memorize each footage, and then and watch it again and again in a repetitive process. And then, I mean, this, most of these materials that you see on the installation available online, but they're just so vast. So you have to spend an extensive period of time just to look at it. It's like a bit like working on a feature film. You get a huge amount of footage, but at some point, after an extensive period of time, you will remember like almost each and one of the moment of it. Yeah.
John, when you see people experiencing passing through George's work, can you describe how people are reacting to it?
Well, we put a lot of pressure on George. We actually said, you know, George, you're going to start the first thing that people will see, and this we did it very, very consciously because we wanted to start the experience for visitors with an immersive concert experience. So the pressure was on for George, and it was very important to us that people, because we felt, you know, half of our audience would simply be coming because they saw the name Leonard Cohen on the poster outside and not because they were after a contemporary art experience. So it's important that we, you know, had some grounding experiences, and we thought, okay, an archival celebration of Cohen on stage, such an elegant, you know, the beautiful mastery of his language, the loveliness of his lyrics, was very important to celebrate that figure. There were other moments that we felt were grounding moments as well. There's a piece by Cara Blake, which celebrates not Cohen on stage, but Cohen as a thinker, Cohen as a writer, Cohen as a philosopher. I mean, he's incredibly spiritual. Mm-hmm. So it's a collection not of music, but of Cohen basically speaking, and essentially almost 30 minutes or 40 minutes of just Cohen's voice in various interview contexts, thinking about the various things that have sustained him or troubled him through his life. You know, struggles with love, struggles with creativity, struggles with depression. There's another moment as well that we felt was important. We needed to go out to contemporary musicians and have them revisit Cohen's repertoire. So those were three grounding moments, in addition mm-hmm. to the one moment where Cohen makes an appearance himself as a visual artist. And we brought together hundreds and hundreds of his self-portraits. He was an obsessive drawer and drew himself very, very often, sometimes several self-portraits a day. But what we felt was more interesting than the drawings themselves were the little annotations that he wrote in. I mean, we really felt like we were entering his mind, their kind of obsessive self-analysis, full of bittersweet moments. And so we digitized them all, and they scroll in a kind of endless sort of succession. So these are the moments that ground the experience for the visitor, and then you can shoot off into much more hermetic or arcane experiences where contemporary artists really took off and did really very different kinds of things.
My guests are John Zeffitelli, Ruth Beach, and George Falk. We're discussing the Leonard Cohen, A Crack in Everything, which originated at the Montreal Contemporary Museum of Art. It is coming to New York City. It will be opening at the Jewish Museum on Friday. John, how did you get all these artists together? Was there a call put out? Did people come to you? How did that work?
Well, there was a call. When we decided and when we got the go-ahead from the Cohen management that we could pursue this project, the first artist that I called is somebody called Candice Braitz, who's brilliant. She lives in Berlin. She's originally from South Africa. And I wrote her this long letter saying, because she'd already worked, she'd done video installations with other musicians. She did a project on Bob Marley in Jamaica, and then did a project on John Lennon in the UK. So I thought, she's perfect for Leonard Cohen. And I wrote her this email, and she wrote back almost immediately saying, I cannot believe the timing of your request, because just this morning I was jogging on a beach in Cape Town, which incidentally is where the co-curator comes from, which is already quite weird, and was listening to Leonard Cohen and told myself, I really should make a project on Leonard Cohen this year. And here I am with this, you know, fully fleshed out proposal for her to complete this project. So that felt really good. That was a really kind of amazing, startling start to the whole thing. And she produced what I consider to be a small masterpiece, maybe even a big masterpiece, actually. Mm-hmm. It's called I'm Your Man. So she sets out to describe this important album, which came out in 1988, which was kind of Cohen's comeback album. Cohen was in his 50s. Mm-hmm. The album just before didn't even get a commercial release in the United States. Various Positions. Weirdly enough, Various Positions had Hallelujah on it, and it was deemed, you know, not commercial enough. In fact, there's a famous line from the record executive who said, "Leonard, we know you're great, but are you any good?" You know. But when I'm Your Man came out, there was a bit of a commercial and critical response that kind of, you know, really catapulted him somewhere else. So she thinks about I'm Your Man as a kind of late style and an album around masculinity as well. So she said, "I am going to ask Montreal fans, mainly Montreal fans, although a couple of people did come from elsewhere, to participate in an art project." So we did actually send out a call asking huge fans of Montreal, just men over 65 years of age, who would have an opportunity to pay tribute to their idol by participating in this project, by singing the entire album in a professional recording studio, being filmed and recorded, of course, singing the entire album from start to finish, individually, and then they would come together as a kind of improbable chorus in the gallery, which is what we did, and the results are absolutely amazing. What she also did, which was different from her previous projects, where she applied the same methodology, is that we also included a single projection and recording of the Shar HaShemayim choir, which is the Cohen family synagogue in Montreal. And they are in this project because Leonard Cohen, on his last album, You Want It Darker, used male background vocalists for the very first time in his life. This was his 14th studio album. He's always had women, you know, to counter that kind of cavernous voice of his. And this time, possibly because he knew he was dying, wanted to return to his roots, and he always loved the liturgy and the song of the synagogue, so went back, and so the cantor, Gideon Zielermeyer, has a solo in it, and they perform background vocals, beautifully done background vocals, to the 18 amateur singers, who are extraordinary people, but not professional singers.
Right, right, right.
So they support the project musically, and the result is kind of a cross between conceptual art and anthropology. It's a really stunning work.
Ruth, I'm curious how we see Leonard Cohen's Judaism, and he was also a Buddhist, correct? He's interested in Buddhism.
He spent 5 years in residence at a Buddhist monastery. Mm-hmm. He obviously was someone who was incredibly spiritual. You know, his Jewish background went back several generations. His family, you know, was in Montreal several generations back. And they were a prosperous, mm-hmm, and very upper-class Jewish family. He was very attached, I believe, to that legacy. And spiritually and in terms of his values, I think also it meant a lot to him. It emerges all the time in his lyrics in particular and in his writings and poetry. So he was a committed Jew, perhaps not a practicing Jew, rather secular, but mm-hmm, it was absolutely integral to his identity.
Is there any piece you really feel captures his spirituality?
I think they all do in so many ways. John, is there any one piece particularly spiritual?
There's a wonderful piece by Janet Cardiff and George Beers Miller, mm-hmm, which is called The Poetry Machine, where we really connect very intimately with Leonard Cohen.
It's a great participatory piece. Visitors Absolutely. Will be invited to go up to an organ, and you press a key, and you will hear Leonard's own voice reading from poetry. And that was all poetry that you found in an archive, right?
Yeah,
right, John? It was an amazing surprise.
He recorded the Book of Mercy.
The Book of Mercy, exactly.
And so when you press a key from this on this Wurlitzer organ, you summon an audio file of Leonard himself reciting one of his poems. And you can play a chord and a cacophony ensues and you don't hear anything, or you can revisit Cohen's poetry, reimagine it. It's a kind of, it's a startling new portrait of Leonard in many ways.
George, I'm going to give you the last word because you're an artist and a super fan.
This is
you're sort of a perfect person to talk about this, that you described your work as a collective experience rather than personal achievement.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Yes, I'm okay. Maybe a little thing about it, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, there's many kind of work, right? But I, as a video artist, in this case, it's really the work really about more about Leonard himself than I was looking at all the other pieces of the work. So in this case, my role as is to make him shine rather than really about my style or my personality of artwork. This is really about 100% focus on him, and hopefully with this work, able to engage and connect and bring back memory with all the fans and all the or introduce the body of work of Leonard to a new generation of audience, and that's the objective of trying to achieve. Yeah.
What about his work spoke to you?
Yeah. Yes, it spoke
as
to me
as a person.
As a person, many level, because I kind of maybe we go back to history. It's like I kind of grew up in a Christian school in Hong Kong, and I've been like going for this like stories about like biblical story, and it's been through my life. It's very visual and also as verbal. It's been teaching to me, and I'm always fascinated with those stories. And I find a lot of things. It's like first of all, the first song called "Passing Through," right? And it the whirlwind of like just going through in this world, just like it's a journey. So it's the idea of like when God called Abraham to leave your possession and to live in tent and to be just journey through this world to have faith on him. And that really echoed with me. And I found the way that Leonard as an artist himself, even though he's very famous, but he's engaged in some, but also at the same time, he's disengaging with all this fanfare of the world and really echoed with me on a personal way, you know, and also in the spiritual way. And I found in his work, I find the beauty of Psalms, and I find the wisdom of proverb, and the sadness of lamentation in the Bible in there. And that's the way I perceive it, yeah.
My guests have been John Zeppitelli, Ruth Beach, and George Falk. We've been discussing Leonard Cohen, A Crack in Everything. The exhibition will open at the Jewish Museum this Friday. Everybody, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
Evans. Coming up next, Monday classical music picks from our colleague at WQXR, Clemency Burton Hill. Stay with us. ¶¶